Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
The autopsy is one of the staples of crime and medical shows like Law & Order, NCIS Quincy, and even HBO's cleverly named Autopsy. Typically, we see the deceased body rolled out of the fridge, placed on a chilly stainless steel table, and then they get out the saw. Yuck! I'm Christopher Springman, and our next guest is rolling her eyes at my description a little wonder. She is Dr. Judy Melnick, MD, a forensic pathologist in San Francisco, who has consulted as a forensic expert in many high-profile legal cases, as well as for the television shows ER and Mythbusters. And Dr. Melnick has written a book about her training, appropriately titled Working Stiff, The Making of a Medical Examiner. Dr. Melnick, it's a joy to have you on Life, Love, and Health.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate the invitation.
Tell me about the book and the genesis for the book. You started training, what, as a forensic pathologist when?
So it was 2001, and I started in July. July 1st is the typical cycle for most physicians to start at. And I had chosen to do my forensic fellowship in New York City because it was one of the premier locations to study forensics in the United States.
Well, let's back up a little bit. Why did you choose forensics?
Initially, actually, I was going to go into surgery.
Well, I was going to say, you could have been a gynecologist, an ophthalmologist, but...
But I started in surgery before that and was absolutely miserable. The hours were incredibly long. I was just totally exhausted. And so I chose pathology as somewhat of a backup career change because I had done research in the Department of Pathology when I was a medical student.
Let me digress for a second. My dermatologist is a former OBGYN, obstetrician gynecologist, and she decided that that a basal cell carcinoma will wait longer than a child at 40 weeks.
It's actually not that unusual for physicians to switch careers. Approximately a third of doctors will switch at some point in their career.
You say in the book that you took 247 human bodies apart during the course of your training, and every evening as you rode the train home, you kept a journal, an account of the cases I'd done, the deaths I've investigated that day. Gee, what did you learn, doctor?
Well, that's what's going to be in the book. The book is slated to be published by Scribner in the fall of 2014. That's the tentative date. I'm going to be working closely with an editor over the next few months to get it ready for publication. But I'm very excited about it because it talks about my training as a forensic pathologist. I don't think there have been any books out there to date that really focus on what it takes to train someone in this field.
What does it take to train someone in this field? Because not everyone goes into this.
Well, first of all, you need to have a basic knowledge and understanding of anatomic pathology, which is the part of medicine having to do with the examination of the organs and the tissues. And that would be even for things like cancer in the hospital. But performing an autopsy is part of that. Forensics focuses on the autopsies that are done in cases of sudden, unexpected, or unnatural deaths.
Now, you made a very good point, because how people die, where they die, what the cause of death is, has tremendous legal, social, and financial consequences.
That's correct. I mean, the legal consequences are those of wrongful death lawsuits when people are dying at workplace injuries, things like that. And the family will, for example, sue the employer when the person died at work. With regards to criminal consequences, if someone dies as a result of a homicide, that obviously is legal.
Or if someone dies of the failure of a pacemaker. For example.
That is correct. And then the question then becomes, is it really the failure of the pacemaker per se, or is it the person's underlying medical disease that required the pacemaker in the first place? So all of these are legitimate medical legal questions that you need an expert to look into.
Who is your mentor at New York's Office of the Chief Medical Examiner?
That would be Dr. Charles Hirsch. He's been the chief medical examiner there since, I believe, 1989.
Wow. Do you remember him fondly?
I still am in touch with him.
No kidding.
He's somewhat of a father figure for me in a professional standpoint. I have a tremendous amount of respect and admiration.
Our guest is Dr. Judy Melnick, a forensic pathologist in San Francisco, who has consulted on a number of television shows, and her new book is entitled Working Stiff, The Making of a Medical Examiner. What were the most important things that you learned? What, to be skeptical, to be a, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but of course I will, to be a detective, to not take things at face value?
Well, that is part of the training. But first of all, you just need to know the basics of how to perform a forensic autopsy.
How do you do it? Where do you start?
Well, it's very similar to a hospital autopsy, where you look at the outside of the body first to look for signs of disease or injury that could explain the death. And then we make a Y incision in the body, and we take out the organs one by one and look at each organ to see if they have any clues about how the person died.
So initially, you're looking for what? Trauma, blunt force, puncture, explosion.
That's the difference between a hospital autopsy and a forensic autopsy.
Ah.
But you need to have the basic knowledge of the diseases that kill people commonly, the natural diseases that are the baseline, before you can then go on and understand trauma.
So you've made the Y incision, you've taken out the organs. What's next?
So we take specimens for toxicology and also specimens for microscopy to look at under a microscope.
And you send that off to pathology?
Well, the toxicology goes to a laboratory that will examine the blood using different equipment for toxins or chemicals or even drugs, prescription drugs. And then that report will come back to me. I'm the one who synthesizes and analyzes that data. And then the microscopy goes to a histology lab that prepares little glass slides that I will personally look at under a microscope.
Do you have an intuitive sense at this point after having done, what, 1,000?
Over 2,000 autopsies.
Do you have an intuitive sense where your nose or ears twitch or something like that? You go, I don't know, this...
Every doctor has that. I mean, when we hear a story as a physician, we already start to deconstruct it before the person who's telling the story even finished, just based on the scene, the circumstances, and then we look at the body and we look at what the body looks like.
And what does the body speak to you, I mean, in a metaphorical sense?
It does, because ultimately people can alter their stories about what happened. People can actually meddle with the scene and steal evidence, but the body itself doesn't lie. And this is actually a direct quote from Dr. Hirsch, the chief medical examiner. The body is the evidence, the document of what exactly happened to that person. And they will speak to us from not literally, but metaphorically, in terms of the wounds on the body, the injuries, and also the natural disease that tells you what a person lived, what their lifestyle was like before they died. Were they an alcoholic? Were they a smoker? You can tell that just from looking not just on the outside, but also on the inside.
What do you see on the inside, for example, with a smoker? I see what, lungs?
Well, the first thing is the outside. On a smoker, you'd see yellowed fingernails. They would sometimes be club-shaped, indicating signs of emphysema. And then on the inside, their lungs would obviously be blacker than just standard city living. And you can sometimes see bubbles where they're called bullae, where the sacs have ruptured because of the chronic exposure alveolar sacs that absorb the oxygen from and bring that oxygen into the blood. Those sacs will rupture over time and get bigger and bigger, and you can have little balloon-sized sacs that the alveoli will degenerate into.
I smell a movie. I smell a TV show. And
those are very popular right now.
Yes, I know. Everyone does it.
You know, the number one question I get asked is, do you watch those shows?
And do you?
I can't. I end up yelling at the television.
No.
I throw shoes at it.
I get incredibly
frustrated
because
it's so inaccurate. You know, because of dramatic effect, they're always trying to condense time, and they'll get the toxicology and the DNA results while they're still performing the autopsy. And typically those take months.
Dr. Melnick, do you have a website where people can get more information about your book, Working Stiff, The Making of a Medical Examiner?
I do. I have a website, which is drworkingstiff.com, and I also have a Facebook page. So you can like Dr. Working Stiff on Facebook and get updates on how the book is going and any other information pertaining to forensics or to my media work.
Dr. Melnick, thank you so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health. You're a wonderful guest. And I am Christopher Springman. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.